to Cain and his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why hast thou countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said to him, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for loving us, for providing all things for us, for giving us this opportunity to look at your word and to gain a word from you for us in our condition today. Help each of us, Lord, with all the struggles that we have in this life, physical, emotional, financial, spiritual. Help us, Lord, in all those different areas to be able to look to you and to have you as our foundation in this world, recognizing that if our foundation is sure and right, that all these other areas will be well as well. Help us to put you first, and help us, Lord, to not only know about you, but to live you out in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to entitle this message this morning very simply, Am I My Brother's Keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? In this story, we have two men with two different callings. Cain was a farmer, tilled the ground, working the soil, bringing forth crops. Abel was a shepherd, leading and tending the flocks, raising the animals. And it came to pass that both of them came to bring an offering to the Lord. The offering that Cain and Abel brought were different. Cain brought an offering from the ground, while Abel brought the best of his flock, a lamb. In regards to their offerings, God looked favorably upon one and the other. God looked down upon Cain's offering, but Abel's offering was accepted. And this did something to Cain. Cain was angry. He was upset. He looked at the favor that God had and the respect that God had on his brother's offering, and instead of using it as an opportunity to say, well, what can I do better? Instead, he looked at his brother as opposition. He looked at his brother as, really, there was hate in his heart toward his own brother as a result of how God was blessing and looking at his brother. And so Cain was upset, and there came a point in time where they were out in the field, and that anger would not go away, that jealousy would not go away, and it led to him killing his own brother. And after he kills his own brother, God calls him into question about this killing, and he asked them this question, where is your brother Abel? Where is he? And, you know, just like the kids, when we do something wrong, sometimes you say a little lie. Well, I don't know. I don't know. And then, but yet God knows all things. And so you can only hide but so much from God. And he gets to the point, he goes, God asks him, what have you done? Like, where's your brother? I don't know. And then he threw that word out there. Am I my brother's keeper? And just for a little while this morning, that's exactly where I want to deal with, because while this is a great Bible story, we've heard it a million times in Bible school and in Sunday classes, you've heard many sermons regarding and all that, while it's a good story regarding Cain and Abel, the application is here for us. The story is told for a reason. It's not for Cain and Abel's reason, it's for us to be able to look at our own selves and even ourselves ask that same question, am I my brother's keeper. You see, we live in a world where there's so much, we separate one another. You know, this world is completely different, even than the world that I grew up when, you know, when I was a child. When I grew up, neighbors could scold me. Neighbors could tell me, don't do this, don't do that. Or I'm going to tell your mama, or I'm going to tell your daddy, and all of that. It was just different. Nowadays, we don't even know our neighbors. We don't know the kids that live right next door to us and all that kind of stuff. This world is different, and there's an insensitivity toward that we have one toward another in this world. Sometimes it's about us looking for our own interest and making sure my house is okay, even at the expense of others. But what does it look like for us as Christians to be our brother's keeper? Well, let's first understand what that is, being our brother's keeper. Cain had a responsibility. First of all, obviously, that's his blood brother. Amen. And I don't know. I've never really understood this phrase. I hate my brother. I can never understand. I've never heard that said from our own mouths of our siblings. Now, we got under each other's skin a whole lot. Yeah. But as much as my siblings may be watching online, you know, but as much as we fought in everything, we maintained the relationship because there was a bond. There was something stronger than whatever the issue was or the problem was. There was something greater that united us. The blood. The blood that ran through our veins and runs through our veins. And of course, the blood of Jesus Christ that now covers us and unites us all, brings us all into the same type of family. Now we have those same type of bonds one with another. That means that you are my brother, not just because of the blood that runs through my veins, but the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses all of us and unites us all and brings us into this beautiful family of God. We're brothers. We're sisters. And Jesus gave us in Matthew 22, he's given us golden rule to love your neighbor as who? As yourself. And so that means that when I'm looking out for the best interests of others, really I should be looking out for the best interests of others in the same way I look out for the best interests of myself. I want to be healthy. I want to be safe. You know, we want to have those needs met and all of that. I want compassion. I want forgiveness when I make mistakes. I want. And then with all those different areas and the things that you desire in your relationship with other people, that's also the things that we also need to give to others. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And that love that we're giving out to others is only because, first, God has given that love to us. See, it's the same principle as forgiveness. God forgives us, and as he forgives us, there is an expectation that because I have forgiven you of your many, many, many sins, so many that we probably couldn't count them all, could we? All these sins that we have committed against God, he expects us to now have that same type of love and forgiveness toward others that we come in contact with also. And so we ought to, in love, do the same. God has poured out his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now I want you to see that love, in love, is giving. Hello, somebody. In love is giving. Think about Jesus. As Jesus, remember, Jesus gave this great parable, and he talked the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in the Good Samaritan, he bowed down, he bent down, he picked up this man that was beaten up, and he puts him on his horse and on his mule, and he takes him to the inn, and he takes care of him and all that. And what I want you to see is that's the very picture of Jesus stepping down out of heaven, stooping low to pick us up. We've been beaten up by sin. We have been barraged by sin, and he comes and picks us up and cleans us up and puts that salve on us to heal us and to be able to get us to that place that we need to be. We couldn't do it on our own. We needed him to come down and stoop down and pick us up and clean us up. And he's continually doing it, even now. If you are in fellowship with him, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse. It's a continual cleansing. Because you know why? Because I'm going to make a mistake tomorrow. Matter of fact, I probably done made a few today, and we'll continue to do a few today. And so I need his blood to continually cleanse me. God loves, and he models love, and he shows us that love demands a gift. And I want you to see something about this gift. It's an undeserving gift. You don't deserve it. See, let's just be honest. A lot of times we don't like to give undeserving gifts. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
She ain't never got me nothing. Every Christmas comes by, I don't get none. All they give me is a card. I'm going to just give them a card. Come on. Some of y'all had this conversation. It looked like it, right? Now. So you meddling, preacher. You meddling. He gave an undeserving gift to us. And so as we give, we don't just give because somebody gave to us. You got me something? You know how we do it. Excuse me. You know how I do. You got me. Oh, I wasn't expecting that gift. Let me go scurry around and figure out something. Oh, look. All right. Package that up. Here you go, Sue. No. It's not a gift because I got a gift. It's how can I look out for the best interests of others, even when they can't see what their best interest is? But because God has given us wisdom, because God has given us that ability to see some things, that there's also an expectation that whatever those things that we have, that we share it for the betterment of others. See, Cain was looking at his brother as an enemy. He was looking at Abel as, and really, if you really look at it, Cain, as he's saying, you know, am I my brother's keeping? He's deflecting from himself. Possibly there's something internally that he was struggling with, saying, I'm not enough. Look at Abel. He always gets the good stuff. Look at Abel. He's always the one that the favors upon him and all that. Look at Abel. Look at him. And but then as I look at him, I look at myself and find that I am less than. And first of all, it's false. That's a false narrative. That's a faulty way of thinking. God doesn't make junk. Hello. So whether you're a 4-talent, 3-talent, 2-talent, 1-talent person, you know, and all that, whatever it is, God has given each of us enough. If you know, understand talents, it wasn't he gave me the ability to tap dance, even though, all right. In the story, it was a sum of money. And even the 1-talent person had a large sum of money. There's a lot of dispute exactly how much, but at least a year's wages. You have all this money at your disposal and all of that. So that means all of us are valuable. You don't need to compare yourself to anybody else. Rest in your greatness. Walk in your greatness. Because God has made each of us great. But what Cain did was he looked at his brother. He looked at his brother with scorn, and he looked within himself as something maybe not complete and all that. You know, it oftentimes is hard to help other people and often hard to bless other people when you can't see that you yourself are a blessing. Oh, let me say that again. You ain't hear that. It's hard sometimes to bless somebody else. You don't understand that you are a blessing. Well, what can I do? You can do a whole lot. You can be a source of encouragement. You can make a good cake. Hey, sis, how you doing? How you doing? You can bless somebody with that cake. Hello, all right. But you see, sometimes what we think is we got to do the grand things. Maybe you've heard that story that I've told many times before, but with the starfish and the starfish that scatter that ground, and the sun is up and it's drying up all of these starfish, and there's a little boy out there, and he's just taking these starfish and he's throwing them back into the water. And this beach is littered with stars. I mean, thousands and hundreds of thousands of starfish. And this man comes up to this little boy and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm trying to save the starfish." And he goes, "This is impossible. Are you kidding me? Do you see how many starfish are out here? What do you think you're going to do?" And he said, "Well, I don't know much, but I know this. I can save this starfish, and I can save that one. And I might not be able to get them all, but I can make an impact." You're called. We're called to make an impact. And your impact doesn't have to be thousands. Hundreds of thousands. There are preachers that I know that impact hundreds of thousands. I don't have that impact. But I'm happy for right here. For right where we are to impact the lives of those. Noah didn't have a worldwide ministry. Hello. 8 souls saved by water. That's his ministry. But that ministry also leads to our existence today. Amen. Right? And so God can do a whole lot with a little bit. God can do a whole lot with a little bit that's willing to be invested for his cause. Amen? Amen. So how can we be our brother's keeper? First of all, we need to examine our hearts. We need to examine our hearts. We need to look within ourselves. You know, am I looking out for the best interests of others, or am I just taking care of self, taking care of home? You know, I think it's so important. Once again, God has called all of us to a life of service. That means we constantly have to have our eyes open, our ears open to the needs of the people around. Jesus Christ himself, you remember him looking over Jerusalem. And as he's looking over Jerusalem, it says that he had compassion. Why? He saw them as what? Sheep without a shepherd. He looks over and sees people in their spiritual need, the greatest spiritual need. He didn't look out and say, "Look, there's some rich people and poor people." He was recognizing that spiritually they were without a shepherd. They were walking aimlessly through life. And if you don't have God right, you don't have anything right. Let me say that. If you don't have God right, you don't have anything right in life. And so he's looking at people who were walking aimlessly without a direction, without God, without his leadership, without his leading, and they were like sheep without a shepherd. Have you ever seen sheep without a shepherd? I think I've shown a visual at one point of little sheep that were jumping off of, did I do that in the sermon or maybe in Bible class? Sheep that were falling to their death because they were following other sheep that were lost. See, without a shepherd, it's dangerous. Without the good shepherd, hold on, not just a shepherd, without the good shepherd, we can find ourselves in that same position. And so Jesus, as he looks over, he sees them as sheep without a shepherd, and it moves him to have compassion. And then after moving him to have compassion, he calls the disciples and shows them and then commissions them to go preach the gospel and share this news. God wants to use us. But first, in order to use us, he needs us to see with our spiritual eyes. So many needs that are around. So many people that are hurting in our midst and in the community. And we have to be sensitive, just like Jesus was sensitive. We have to recognize that our brothers and our sisters are all around us. Our brothers and sisters are black. Our brothers and sisters are white. Our brothers and sisters are Hispanic. They're Asian. They're our brothers and sisters. Our brothers and sisters are Republican. Our brothers and sisters are Democrats. They're independents. Some have no party affiliations at all. But they're our brothers and our sisters. And I know politics, and I know the CNN's going to say this, and Fox News is going to say this, and MSNBC is going to say that, and whoever else is saying all these things. But we as Christians cannot forget the blood that is running through our veins is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's no longer about our familial ties and our parties and all that. No, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that has united us and brought us all into this family of God. And I don't know about your family, but my family, we got some, I'm trying to collect my words right now. You got crazy Uncle Joe sometimes in the family. You got Aunt Lucy. You know how she acts. You all know how she is, you know. Hey. But you know what? That's family. Family. And even when Uncle Junior act crazy and dumb. Man, let me cover him. That's family. That's family. Because I am my brother's keeper. We are our brother's keeper. And we have to have our eyes open to the many needs that are out there. We have to remember that we are that city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are the light of the world. We are to send this light of Jesus Christ, Jesus who is the light of the world. We're to send this light out. We're representing Jesus Christ. We're even in our good works, we're glorifying our Father in heaven. All that we do isn't even about us. It's about Him. And He desires that we stay active and engaged in His will. And we can't do that. I say this all the time. We're in the people business. You've heard me say that maybe a couple times. Don't forget, we're in the people business. It's all about people. There's no other plan. God came, and yes, the angels have influenced certain things. They were sent as messengers to mankind. The angels were sent at different times and all of that. Yes, the Holy Spirit enabled men to be able to write down things. Yes, there are other ways that God has acted, sometimes, especially in the patriarchal age, where He would speak directly to man. But yet, you and I have always been in His plan. We're integral to the scheme of redemption. We're a part of the process. In order for someone, you remember the Ethiopian eunuch riding on his chariot, Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Man is in the plan. Man is in the plan. That means us. We're to play. And sometimes we think, well, that's only limited to the times where we sit down and we say, all right, now turn here and turn. No, that's in our everyday life. That's in how we serve. That's in how we love others. That's in how we share. That's in how we forgive. That's in how we give. That's in how we do in every aspect of our lives. God is challenging us to be our brother's keeper. And let's just be honest. Sometimes our brother don't act right. Sometimes sister don't act right. Sometimes you don't act right. Okay. And so what we need is love, understanding, compassion, and always, I'm going to use a Jalen Hurts phrase, keeping the main thing, the main thing. Recognizing it's not about me, Lord. It's about You. And in part of this process, it is to make sure that I am here as a service and a blessing to others that God has placed in our path. Help us, Lord, to be our brother's keeper. Help us to not just live by ourselves. There's a, what's that? That bystander effect. I remember when my wife and I were going, well, our family was down in Florida. I've shared the story once at least. We were driving. I was coming back from preaching at a church, and we were driving back to Orlando where, we went to go see my mother that was living in Port St. Lucie, and then we were driving back to Orlando to where our hotel was. And as we were driving there was an accident that had just happened. I mean, minutes before we had gotten there, it had just happened, fresh. You could see the debris, everything. Car had flipped over, it hit a rail and then turned over. It was a Jeep and it flipped over a few times. And then there was a lady trapped under the wheel well of that car. And she's trapped. And I remember we all pulled over. I mean, there were many cars that just pulled over. And The bystander effect was in play. When I got there, everybody was like this and just staring. And I'm sitting, I'm a person to action. Y'all, if y'all know me, I'm a person, let's, what? It's time to do something. So I'm like, I'm looking and everyone's looking. But this woman, this poor woman is trapped underneath this car. And I'm like, we gotta do something. And as soon as I didn't say quite that nicely either. But we got into action and started to try to pull that car up. And the car, it even as we started to pull it, it then shifted. And anyway, long story short, we were able to get her out from under there. But it's just amazing just seeing that bystander effect in place, because it wasn't that there was anything wrong with the people or anything like that. They were frozen for a moment. How do I help? What do I do? And then oftentimes with the bystander effect is you're always waiting for someone else to jump in. Who's going to be first? Why are we always waiting for someone else to go first? Maybe God's calling you to stand in the gap. Maybe there's some calls I don't need to call the church about. I don't need to call the preacher or the elder. As God has come down and picked me up and washed me up and cleansed me, maybe there's something I can do to help somebody in that area. See, a lot of times it's easy to pass the responsibility to someone else. Or it's even easy to put, hey, here's a fun going to Africa, or here's this to that, or to that, or that. And those are beautiful things. But sometimes it's easy to just throw a couple dollars in the plate and say, I've done my work of helping others. It goes far beyond that. Continue doing that. But look around. Look to your left, to your right. See, brothers and sisters, look in our community. Look at how much hatred is out there. Look at how much, with that hatred, is there opportunity for you to let your light shine. Let your light shine. I'm just going to leave you with these simple thoughts. How can I be a better brother to others? How can I be better to the community that God has placed? How can we as a congregation be better to the community that we're impacting here? How can we be better? How can we be our brother's keeper? Lord, help us to answer those questions. Let's take this to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, help us. We've been asked and asking this same question, Lord. Am I my brother's keeper? And how can I be my brother's keeper? And for each of us, it's going to look a little bit differently, Lord. But help us to have the mindset. Help us to have the heart. Help us to have the desire to help others. Help us not to look at our fellow brothers, first of all, those in the household of faith and those beyond, where you've called us to do good to both. Help us to be able to look and see ways we can be helpful and bless others. And recognizing, Lord, I'm not doing this to get, I'm doing this to give, because you've given first to me. Help us, Lord, to have spiritual eyes, looking for those opportunities that we have. Help us to have the compassion of Jesus, looking over a crowd and sensing that they were spiritually misguided. And instead, he saw that, he sent help to try to fix their error. Help us, Lord, to look to bless people spiritually, emotionally, financially, emotionally, physically. Lord, help us in all areas to just be a help. We thank you, Lord, for this calling. It's a challenging one, Lord. It's one that demands much of us. It demands great patience and wisdom. But yet, Lord, you're right here alongside of us. You've never left us nor forsaken us. You'll be with us to the very end. Help us, helping us to accomplish your will. And I believe this is your will for us. Father, open doors of opportunities. And then as you open those doors of opportunities, help us to have the spiritual insight, the mindset, to be able to see what you're doing, Lord, and to be able to walk through those doors. Give us wisdom as we go out in the future, Lord. And help us always, always, always to walk in compassion with others, Lord. We all make mistakes. We will always make mistakes. But you forgive us and you help us. Help us to forgive others. Help us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Someone's here this morning, you're ready to come to the Jesus Christ and put him on in baptism, be freed from your sins. Jesus came, he died, he was buried, and he rose to give each of us this opportunity to come and have new life in him. All things that were old can become new in Jesus Christ. But you've got to take that first step. He's waiting. Won't you come as we stand and we sing this song of invitation? Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now, just now. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you just now, just now. He will save you, he will save you just now. He will cleanse you, he will cleanse you, he will cleanse you just now. Just now. Amen, amen. Before one of our elders comes to close out our service, I just want to give this certificate of baptism to my daughter, Anaya Reyes, for her obedience to the command and example of our Lord and Jesus Christ, was buried in baptism on the 11th day of October in the year of our Lord 2024. God bless you and God keep you in our prayers. And now one of our elders are going to come. Brother Walt.
Domingo, thank you for reminding us that we are keepers.
Amen.
And other keepers. You know.